What's up, guys? I'm Jared Lopes, and you're listening to the Dad Tired Podcast, where I'm helping everyday families learn how to follow Jesus in everyday life. How's it going, guys? Jared Lopes back with you here on the Dad Tired Podcast. It's good to be with you. If you're joining us for the very first time, just want to say welcome. We're glad to have you hanging out with us today. Maybe you found us on iTunes or on Google, and you kind of stumbled across the Dad Tired community, and we're glad that you did. We're glad that you're here. Dad Tired is essentially a group, a community of men from around the world who are taking their faith, their family, and their marriage very seriously. And we'd love to have you be part of that group. The best way to do that is to go to dadtired.com and to click the community tab. And it will link you over to a closed group on Facebook where you can hang out with over 1,000 guys from around the world who are taking this stuff seriously. So if you're listening to this podcast and you're a guy and you want to come hang out with us, go to dadtired.com and click the community tab and you can do that. There's also a group for women because I know a lot of gals listen to this podcast as well. That group is called Mom Tired. It's on Facebook as well. And you can just search Mom Tired in Facebook and you will find that group there. They'd love to have you be a part of that. Anyway, this episode is brought to you by Covenant Eyes. If you are serious about leading your family, one of the biggest things that you can do to take action in leading your family is to live above reproach, to live a life of honesty, to have accountability, and sexual integrity. And so Covenant Eyes is a software that goes on all of your devices that have internet and just monitors it. It filters the things that you can look at. It also monitors it and sends a report to an accountability partner of your choice. It is a great, great software to have on all of your devices. You can go to Covenant Eyes and pick up that software. And if you use the promo code DADTIRED, one word, as you check out, they'll give you, I think it's a month free trying that out. You can also go to dadtired.com and click the resources tab or dadtired.com eyes, EYES eyes, and they'll get you connected there as well. Lots of ways to get that. But if you're serious about leading your family, this is a one tool that you're going to need in your tool belt to do that. Come hang out with us on the Facebook page. Step up and lead your family by getting that audiobook. Speaking of step up and lead your family, I do have an audiobook, an ebook that you can get for free. It's totally free. It's just a short. It will take you like one lunch break to read through. If you go to dadtired.com, it's going to ask you, do you want this book? And you just put in your email address there and you can get that book for free. I feel like I'm given out like way, feels like a giant commercial. So let's dive into the content today so that we can stop sounding like a commercial. All of those things are really good that I told you. I wasn't really trying to sound like a commercial, although it started to feel like that a little bit. Let's dive into the content and get out of commercial land. So one thing I was thinking about today, I just took my family on vacation. We went, we got away for a few days, just the four of us, my wife and my daughter and son. And it was super fun, really relaxing. I always tell guys in the Dad Tired group, like if you are serious about things, I'll know you're serious. The people around you will know you're serious. If it makes your calendar and it makes your bank account, your checkbook. So you can tell me all day long that you prioritize your family and time with your family and you prioritize the homeless or the poor, the needy, whatever. But your bank account and your calendar always prove what you're actually most passionate about. So I'm really big advocate of like, if you want to spend quality time with your family, you want to create memories with your family, you need to be with them. And so you need to block out time where you just unplug from social media, from your phone, from your work, and get with your family. And I hear a lot of guys make excuses on that. I have yet to hear an excuse that I've bought. I think it can be done no matter what. So one of the best ways for you to do that, this is what we did. We block it out months, maybe even like over a year in advance. We block it out in our calendar so that when that day comes, it's protected. And obviously things come up, emergencies or whatever. But if you're blocking it out a year in advance that you're going to spend a few days a week with your family, then it's going to happen. So if you want to be intentional, one of the most intentional things you can do, even if you don't listen to the rest of this podcast, block out some days that you can spend either with your wife or with your kids, or both, hopefully, and just be with your family. Be intentional about spending time with your family. So that's what I was doing the last few days when we went to the coast, and I was driving home today, and we all kind of were, this is going to sound like opposite of what I was just telling you to do, but we were all kind of, the kids were watching a movie together in the back. My wife was listening to an audiobook. So I was like, all right, I'm going to listen to some stuff too. And so I was like listening to podcasts and just trying to get through stuff in my mind and work stuff out in my mind. And one of the thoughts that I had in my mind as I was driving home today was the thought that all of us, every single one of us, every one of us that follow Jesus, we all struggle with the same sin. And I don't care what your sin is. Like if you deal with addiction to pornography or drugs or alcohol, or you work too much or lust, or you're gluttonous, or you spend too much money, or whatever it is, we all deal with the very same sin. It all kind of comes back to one core main issue. And that issue is this, that we are not convinced that God is best for us, or that he has our best in mind. And that sin is actually goes back all the way to your parents, Adam and Eve. Our very first humans dealt with this very exact sin. It happened in the garden where they were living life like exactly as God designed it to be. That relationship between husband and wife, Adam and Eve, was awesome. Relationship between them and God was awesome. Nothing had gone wrong yet. There was no guilt, shame, stress, none of that. It was great. And then Satan comes up and says, hey, I wonder if God's holding back on you. He said that you can't eat any of this fruit here. And maybe if you eat it, you're going to get something that you haven't yet experienced yet. Or essentially, maybe God's holding back on you. Maybe there's something that God hasn't given you that you'd really enjoy. And the question that Adam and Eve were struggling with, Eve specifically at this moment was struggling with, is, I wonder if God is enough. And ultimately, she made the choice that was saying, God is not enough. There's something outside of God that can satisfy my soul more than God. And that's the whole root of sin. It's the very first, if you look at the Ten Commandments, you shall have no other God before me. God is essentially saying, I am best for you. I can satisfy your soul better. Don't worship anything. Don't put your hope, your identity, your comfort, anything in anything else other than me. And when you do, that's idolatry. You put your hope and comfort, safety, security in something else, your emotions, your energy, your life, your money. It's called worship. You're worshiping another God. And it can be a thing. It doesn't have to be an idol. We worship all kinds of different things. So you and I, all of us, regardless of what your sin is, it all can be traced back to the sin that we actually don't believe that God is enough. And that comes back all the way to the beginning of the human history, Adam and Eve, where she said, I don't think God is enough. And this trickles down, especially for us guys, into this kind of one of our main, I said especially for those guys, but actually I don't think that's true. It really is a human condition. But let me talk specifically to how this would affect guys. It typically affects us in the way of our identity, particularly in our job, in our career, in our work, what we do for a living, what we do to make an income, what it says on our business card. This is usually where it affects us. It's where we spend most of our time. We put a crazy amount of time, 40 plus hours, 40, 50, 60, 70 hours a week towards providing for our family. And we kind of can chalk it up to just saying, you know, we're just trying to provide for our family, make ends meet. And for sure, that's obviously what we're all trying to do, is put food on the table for our kids and for our family. But something deeper is happening oftentimes, where we're really, what we're doing is putting our identity deeply rooted into what our title is or what we do for work. And that, let me give you a practical example of how this plays out. When I was in Africa a few years back, I'm actually going to Africa in 3 weeks. If you keep me in your prayer, I'm going to be away from my family for about 2 weeks. But a couple years ago, I was in Africa, and one of the things that stuck out to me the most, one of the things that I found most fascinating when I was there, was I would meet somebody, another Christian, particularly a Christian man, and I would say, hey, my name's Jared. And they would say, whatever their name is, hello, my name is Jeff. That was like their American translation name. Hey, my name's Jeff. And then the next words were, and I've been saved by Jesus Christ, or, and I'm a son of God. It always had something connected to their identity as a believer in Jesus Christ, or that they had been saved by the grace of God. And that happened so many times throughout my trip there that it literally was the number one thing I took away was somebody there has taught them that their identity is solely rooted in Jesus Christ and Him alone. And that deeply affected me, because how do we introduce each other here, right? So when I live in Portland, when I meet somebody, I say, hey, I'm Jared. Hey, I'm so-and-so. And one of the first questions that's going to come up within a matter of minutes is, so what do you do? What do you do? Well, I'm a pastor. I'm a carpenter. I'm an electrician. Yeah, I'm a dentist, whatever. I'm a doctor, whatever. Here's what I do. What we're essentially saying is, here's my name, which is part of my identity. And second to my name, part of my identity, a big part of my identity, is what I do. In Africa, they weren't telling you what they did. They were telling you who they are. And we have a weird, like, qualm with that question. We can't quite figure that question out. If I went up to 9 out of 10 of you and said, who are you? You'd freak out. You'd be like, what the heck are you asking me for? That's a weird question. What do you mean, who am I? I'm Jared. Yeah, but who are you? I'm Jared the carpenter. I'm Jared the electrician. What are you talking about? Not what you do, not what do you do for a living, but who are you? See, in Africa, they would say, who am I? I'm saved by Jesus. I'm a son of God. I'm loved by God. That's who I am. And that's a crazy paradigm shift. They're deeply rooted in the identity that they've been saved by the God of the universe, and it affects everything. Every other part of their life is affected by that truth. So on the flip side, for us, when we say, I'm Jared, and this is what I do, and my identity is wrapped in what I do, that also affects everything. Now, it affects everything in two different ways. There's two ways that this can be dangerous, to have your identity deeply rooted in what you do. And listen, all of us struggle with this. But if that's you, even if you don't know it, if your identity is in what you do, there's two dangerous outcomes here. Number one, it will lead to either pride, or it will lead to some type of shame, guilt, or inadequacy. So on the pride side, what it would look like is saying, here's what I do, and maybe you have a great job. Maybe you're a CEO or a vice president or an entrepreneur or something where you've got some status and prestige, and you like handing out your business card because your title has something cool on it. You've worked your way up in a company, right? You've worked hard, you've done well, you've got a cool title, a cool job, whatever. And so you're excited to hand that business card, and you're excited about what your role is. And so what often can happen is you develop this deep sense of pride, not because of who you are, but because of what you do. I'm so-and-so, and I'm a vice president, or I'm a business owner, or whatever. And now you have a sense of pride that because you do something cool or worthwhile, that you somehow have more status or power or authority or value because of what you do, which is actually deeply disconnected to what Jesus would say is the truth of the gospel, that you have your value is not in what you do. In fact, if you try to compare what you do to the one that matters, God Himself, you fall ridiculously short. Your goodness is like filthy rags. You don't even come up. You come up way short. You don't come close to God's goodness. And luckily, His grace is not dependent on what you do. But one of the most dangerous games that we can get in is to get to this sense of identity that because of what we do, we feel like we have some kind of status or value. We begin to get a sense of pride. And God says He opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The second dangerous thing is that you'd feel a guilt, this sense of guilt or shame or inadequacy, because you're not proud to hand over your business card. you don't have a job or a job title that's cool. And so when people ask you what you do, you actually feel a sense of shame or guilt that you aren't good enough. Well, you know, I'm just, this is what I'm doing, but I'm just getting by, or I'm planning on working up, or deeply connected to who you are. You've got this idea in your mind that who you are is based around what you do, and you don't like what you do, and so you feel less valuable. Friends, let me tell you, your identity is not based on your job title or what it says on a business card. Your identity is rooted deeply in the fact that God knitted you together in your mother's womb, that He knew every day of your life before it even played out, that He knows every hair on your head, that He has so many good thoughts about you that they outnumber the grains of the sand, Psalm 139, that He cares deeply about you, that He actually gave up His life to take you from being called an enemy to a son, to a daughter, if you're a woman listening. But your identity is not rooted in what you do, but who you are. And so that sense of shame and guilt and inadequacy is a lie from the evil one, constantly feeding into you that you are not valuable, that you don't have as much worth because of your job title. My name is Jared, and I'm a son of God. My name is Jared, and I've been saved by the grace of Jesus. Would you start to develop those words? That your identity is in who you are, and who you are is a son of the Most High God. And nothing else can define you. The other way that this starts to play out in a dangerous way is when we start to wrap our identity up in what we do, and not in who we are in Christ, we start to subtly project that onto our kids. We will start to, in the littlest ways even if we're not intentionally doing this, in the littlest ways, we will start to communicate to them that their value comes in what they do. And so we really push them hard to be good at sports, or good at school, or good at music, or make sure that they look good or dress cute or whatever, because in what they do is what gives them value. And in the looks we give them, the little remarks we say, even kind, even the way that we encourage them, we start to encourage them towards the idea that their value is not in who they are, but what they do. And this is a dangerous game. The Bible says that if we train up a child in the way that he should go, he will not depart from it. We must train up our children to have their value deeply rooted in the fact that Jesus loves them, that he desires them to be called sons and daughters of his, of the King, that they can fail at everything, school, music, looks, sports, whatever, they can fail at it all, and yet they would never, their identity would never be shaken. That their friends could peer pressure them into certain things, that culture could peer pressure them into certain things, and at the end of the day, they could go to bed, lay their head down on the pillow, and know that they are deeply loved by the God of the universe. They will only learn that if you are convinced of that. That's why we must get our identity wrapped in who Jesus is, who he says we are, and not in what we do. Because we will subtly start to project that onto our kids. As I learn as a dad that I am loved, not based on how much money I bring in or not based on my job title, I will learn to teach that to my kids. So when my kids, I'm coaching my son's soccer. We literally just got done with practice an hour ago. As I'm done coaching soccer, I can say, son, you did a great job today. Good. I saw how hard you worked and how much fun you had. You did awesome. That looked like you were having a lot of fun. Jesus loves you so much, son. Isn't it cool that Jesus lets us play sports and enjoy his creation that he was creative enough to think of this. This is really fun. Man, Jesus really loves you, son. It doesn't matter how good or bad you do. Just know that you're loved by the God of the universe. If I start to critique my son in the way that he plays soccer at our school or whatever, now, of course, we challenge our kids to be their best. But if he gets any sense that his value from me, his earthly father, is based on how well he does and how well he performs, he will grow up to be convinced that his value and identity is based on what he does and not in who he is. This is a dangerous game. My challenge to you, I know that guys don't like homework, but my challenge to you would be this. If you want homework, you can take this. If not, just ponder this as you think about this podcast and even as you're listening now. Where are you finding your identity? If all of your titles were stripped away, if you lost your job, and I know some of you, especially if you're on like that pride side and you own something or you're a VP or whatever, that's a hard question for you to even realize because it feels so far from reality. But if all of your titles were stripped away, if God called you tomorrow to move somewhere where nobody knew you, where your titles didn't even matter, he wanted you to move to the jungles of Africa or to South America and to proclaim the good news of him there, and your job titles literally don't mean anything there, who are you? Who are you? One thing that you can do is start to write out a list. Who are you? At the top of that list should be, you are loved by the God of the universe. You've been saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. You are a son of the Most High God. And then start to thank him for the qualities you have that you see that he's given you. God, I'm courageous because you've given me a spirit not of fear or timidity, but you gave me a spirit of courage to step out because I know you're for me, not to accomplish all my plans so that I can be super prosperous, but to boldly proclaim your gospel, to boldly make disciples, to boldly share the good news of Jesus. God, thank you. You were courageous, Jesus. And I see that you've given me that quality by your grace. Or maybe you're compassionate. You have a deep heart. You feel the pain of other people. Jesus, I see that you're compassionate throughout Scripture, that when you walked on this earth, that you had a heart for those, for the unjust things of the world. Jesus, as you walked around and you cared for the sick and the blind and the hungry, I see you've put some of those same qualities in me. Thank you, God, that by your grace, I get to show compassion the way that you showed compassion. I get to point people to you because of that characteristic that you gave in me. Who am I? I'm a son of God. I'm an image bearer of Christ. And so I get to look and act like Jesus to the world. I get to be salt and light. I get to provide value to the world. Thank you, God, for that. Would your first identity always be rooted that you've been saved by the grace of Jesus Christ, not because of what you do, but who you are? Your job title means nothing in the kingdom. It means nothing in the kingdom. In the kingdom of God, we are all sons. We are all daughters. Desperate for the grace of Jesus Christ. I hope that as you go throughout today, that would be start to take hold of your identity. You are going to need people around you that keep pointing you to that, because you will either be in one of those two spots. You will either be proud of who you are and what you've accomplished and the skills that God has given you, and you will fall into pride. If you're not careful, you will fall into pride because it is deeply tempting to believe that you are valuable because of what you do. And so you will need a group of people around you who are going to call you out on your BS, who aren't going to rub your back all the time and tell you how awesome you are, but they're going to remind you that you've been saved by the grace of Jesus Christ, that everything you have is only because of Jesus, and who remind you of the good news of the gospel, that your goodness was of filthy rags, and yet God didn't care about that. He didn't ask you to measure up. He said, instead, I'll step in for your place and I will be good enough for you. And that is his, by his grace and his grace alone that you have been saved. And they would constantly remind you of how amazing his grace is. And it's amazing because of how wretched you are, not how awesome you are. The second group of people, those of you dealing with shame, guilt, inadequacy, you'll need a group of people around you who constantly remind you of the good news of Jesus, that your value is not based on what you do, but who you are, that God loves you. He delights in you. He doesn't just tolerate you, but he actually delights in you. You bring him joy, not humanity, not like all people, you. He thought of you. He knit you together, and you bring him joy. You bear his image. You have characteristics that he has that he wants you to show to the world that would point back to him. You were uniquely made. And you need a group of people around you who constantly point you to that good news, that your value is not based on what you do, but who you are. I love you guys. I'm so grateful that you listened. If you would you leave a review of this podcast in iTunes? It's super helpful, not to give me a pat on the back, but to point more people to Jesus. It does that because the more you review, the more it stays on the front page of iTunes. And that just means more and more people find it. Hopefully more and more people who haven't heard the good news of Jesus could hear that they're valuable based on who they are, not what they do, that God finds value in them because they bear the image of him. I want more people to hear that message. So if you leave a review, if you leave a rating, you subscribe, it helps it stay on the front page of iTunes, which means more and more people have the chance to hear the good news of Jesus. Come hang out with us on the Dad Tired podcast if you're a gal on the Dad Tired group, and if you're a gal in the Mom Tired group on Facebook. But I love you guys. Thank you so much for listening. Reach out at hello@dadtired.com if you've got any questions, comments, encouragements. I could always use those. Anyway, love you guys. Have a good rest of your day. Later.